thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Oh, it sure is. And it's a Friday, so we do less talking on a Friday, don't we, Mr. Lee, you and I?
We do, which is so nice, isn't it, that we have the Talking Flickster do most of the talking for us.
I just love it. We get to sit back and, you know, get their opinion on a movie we send them off to see. We haven't actually had any really bad ones, have we? I think we had maybe one in the years we've been doing it.
Yeah, which I know we do keep going back to Joker 2, but yes, we've had one.
Oh, no, there was another one, wasn't there?
There was.
Ella McKay, was that?
Ella McKay, yeah.
That was a shocker. Yeah.
God, that was going back. Yeah, I think it got a one, both of them. Got ones, didn't they?
Well, you know what they say, Mr. Lee, you can't put lipstick on a pig, okay? So, so in this instance... Hey, that's
really
okay.
I was worried where you were going with that, but anyway, okay.
Okay, Mr. Lee, calm down. No, it's Friday, but don't get excited. Now, the movie this week and our Flickster we have sent to see is Fall 2 Dead Point. I also went to see this one too, Mr. Lee, because I was so excited about this. I love Fall 1. It was great. You know, the girls on the TV tower 3,000 feet above the ground. One of them dies, you know, when she gets caught on the thing, the part of the tower. And yeah, I mean, personally, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be climbing up TV towers at 3,000 feet off the ground. I've got no desire to do that. But
can I just say, you just spoiled it for me. I haven't seen the first one.
Well, go watch it then. I didn't tell you how it ends.
Why do I need to watch it now? You just told me what happened.
Well, go and Google it, then you'll know. But hey, I'm not going to tell you what happens in Fall 2, though. Dead Point.
Oh, okay.
No. Right. But we are going to dissect it with our Flickster and get their thoughts. I'll be very interesting to hear their thoughts on a few parts of the film, Mr. Lee. I did say last week it's going to be a big score.
Yes.
I'm not going to give too much away, but we'll find out a bit later on. We'll introduce our Flickster to talk Fall 2 after we have a listen to the trailer.
Do you know what you're asking? You're asking for someone to take you on the most dangerous trail in Thailand. If it rains, the planks will be too slippery to turn back. And that high up, even your fear has nowhere to go.
You have to do something that makes you feel alive.
Okay. Welcome to the ancient plank walk. Take a deep breath. One foot in front of the other.
Foot bend.
Flip out. Flip in. Flip out.
Get back!
The longer that we wait, the weaker we get.
Deep breath. Clip in. Clip out.
Oh, yes. There you have it. Fall 2 Dead Point. And to tell us whether they liked it or not, is our Flickster. Welcome to Talking Flicks once again, the wonderful Danny.
Thank you, guys. Good to be here.
Great to have you back, mate. We've missed you.
It's been a... What was the last one? We always ask our Talking Flicksters.
Oh, this was it was the joint one he did with his niece. Niece, yeah.
Yes. Oh,
it was brilliant. The Minions.
Minions, yes. Yeah.
Oh.
That was a very memorable episode for me, I've got to say. I haven't forgotten that one. Yeah. Still get nightmares about it. Anyway.
Not about the Talking Flickster episode, movie.
The movie, yes.
Yeah, the movie.
You guys smashed it. It was a great episode. And Danny, we've brought you back for a bit of Fall 2 action, Dead Point. All right, well, let's start off with what did you think about this one? Were you a fan?
Look, what's the old cliched word about sequels that they're usually
inferior films just based on, you know, the love of the first one. It's kind of a bit of column A and column B.
Oh.
You know, I really, 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 really liked the first one. I watched it the night before I went to see Fall 2 because I hadn't seen it. And it was really gripping, and I absolutely thought it was an amazing film, and I was getting really psyched for where they were going to take it. And maybe some of it falls short, but other parts of it really do lend itself to being on the big screen. So it's column A, column B when it comes to sequels.
Mm. Ooh, okay. What did you think, JT? Because you've seen them both as well. I'll get your opinion. What did you
think? Well, I was so looking forward to seeing this one because I had seen Fall a couple of years back, and I loved the storyline. I thought it was great about climbing the tower and the drama that was attached to it. And I love the survival element. Like, you're hanging on the whole movie to find out, you know, how they're going to get down, you know. And as there would be in every Fall movie, there's a twist. And there was a great little twist at the end of Fall 1. And there is another twist in Fall 2 as well, which we'll get to. I thought it was great. And the ending was really good. So based on the back of that, I'm like, I want to see number 2. And when I heard it was coming out, and I love the storyline too. I'm sure you agree, Danny, you know, going to one of the biggest mountains in Thailand. And then this mountain where, like, they've got these planks that just, you know, when you look at them, they're pretty rickety, aren't they? Like, they don't look safe at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's it has that element that, you know, you want to see, and it definitely grips you the whole time. So it does set out to do what the first film does. So, you know, that element is definitely a huge plus, you know. And to have a film carried from start to finish with an unnamed cast was really a draw for me, especially with the first one. Makes you realise that, you know, blockbusters and big-name stars don't necessarily have to equal box office great films, you know. This film carries its weight based on the fact that the storyline, the gripping context of what's they're doing, and this it's a simplistic thought but well executed.
Which is a good thing. I just want to make mention, this, they actually filmed 50 feet in the air. So that's why it gives you that realistic opinion of, you know, wow, you know. Tom Brittany, who plays John Platt, he is actually quite petrified of heights. He is so scared of heights. And he said being taken up to the set in a cherry picker without being harnessed was one of the most scariest parts of the entire experience. So that's why I think, you know, they were giving that feel of, because I've seen bits and pieces of it, walking in and walking out of the cinema, and yet they look like they are all quite scared. So that's probably one of the reasons why they have that fear. And it's real fear. So.
Well, I think the way they set it up, especially like in the start, where, you know, they're climbing up to the plank, and already you can see the ladder's rickety. There's, you know, it's really old. It's coming away from the wall. And the same goes to the planks up there. It does not look safe at all. They're little, really rusted where you put the safety harness on. And they're not supposed to be there. That's probably the biggest part of the movie as well, is the fact that this has been condemned. They don't want people going up there. And obviously they wanted to experience that, you know, but you would agree, Danny, wouldn't you? Like, basically as soon as they climb that mountain, the drum begins, and you are really hooked, aren't you?
Absolutely. It reminds you that, you know, these films are very successful based on the fact that fear is real. We all identify with fear, whether we think we're strong enough and young enough to be able to do things like these. The moment the camera pans down and you're looking straight down the bottom of the earth and how far they are off the ground, you start to realise. And as an audience, that's exactly what's the hook of these films, is it puts you in the seat of your own fears. And that's where it is a really successful film, is you're not just sitting there in fear for them, but for yourself, because it absolutely hooks you straight away.
And Dean, what did you think about Jax and Luce, obviously the two girls, you know, centre of the film and the storyline? How did you like their connection? I thought it was quite good. There is a bit of a twist with that connection as the movie goes on, but I think they both played a great role. I think it was kind of good where Jax didn't want to go and she kind of got talked into doing it, and then as you can see, the friendship kind of blossoms as the movie goes on.
Yeah, look, they definitely carry the film in regards to how they play off each other. Chemistry and stuff like that is really important to in a film. And I think being unknown actors, we probably would just kind of feel like, you know, they're just going through the motions and maybe it's not necessarily genuine. But I actually feel like the first two actresses in the first film, these two have a way of being able to hold your attention. And, really, the fear in their eyes is something that, would definitely translate to the audience.
Now, you're saying that fear. Jax, as we all know, and as JC said, lost her sister in the first one.
Hunter.
Did you think there was more emotion in this that gave it a little bit more weight in this one because she had that fear from the first one that something was going to happen in this one?
Yeah, I thought it was a great hook for you to link yourself to the first film as an audience to be able to go, well, now I know this character is connected to the first film and the connection that they have. And in some ways, the reminiscing about their childhood and the connection that has really does set up her character in a way that is true to what a sequel should be about, a continuation of a story. And I really think that was a really good hook in the fact that they were sisters from the first movie to the second.
Now, I've got to ask, if you were going to do this, would you do this on Mount Quai on the plank walk? Both of you.
The moment I saw them climbing, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And when they got to the top, I was like, I'm still out. I could not. Even my 20-year-old self would have thought my knees couldn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
There's no way I could not look down and not get vertigo. I absolutely not for me, even at my most adventurous.
I don't think anybody would. I think it was the case that, Jax obviously wanting to follow in her sister's footsteps and, continue. Because that's what it was all about. It was about living up to that legacy of Hunter and what she had done. And Hunter had that dream of doing this. That was kind of like, it was in this book that they found and, that's what she really wanted to do. So I think that was a case of Jack's kind of continuing
that. That's why she...
Yes. Yeah. Which I think is beneficial. Would you agree, Denny, if you're going to watch this film, just to watch 4-1 to kind of get a bit of the background? I don't think it's like it's like 100% necessary, but I think it definitely helps understanding a lot more of the storyline, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think the connection between the character in the second one, linking it back to the first one, you'll instantly get at the moment you see her open that book. You understand who she is and her purpose for wanting to do what her sister was doing, and that book does tell you that she really wanted to do a lot more in her life. So I think you definitely benefit from watching the first one and then the second one. But sometimes watching the sequel and then going backwards to see the first one isn't a terrible idea.
No.
But it does help you instantly make that connection.
Hey, can I tell you a funny story about heights? I did the Sydney Harbour Bridge Walk many, many, many years ago, back in my 40s anyway, and I was scared of that, like looking down at the cars going and all that. I don't know whether you two have done it, but it was quite scary, and there is no way in hell I would do it either. Not because of my knees, and that is part of it too. It's more of the height things. I hate heights.
Would you do it for $1 million, Mr. Lee? That is the question.
No.
Would you?
No. My life's more worth more than $1 million.
It's a lot of money.
Yes, I agree. Don't get me wrong. $1 million is a lot of money.
Oh, it
but
is.
I think for the right reasons. But there's no reason. Yeah. No. My answer's no. Not for $1 million.
Yeah, because what happens if something did happen? You couldn't spend it.
No, that's right. You're gone.
Well, so you're gone. Pointless, yeah. So. So there's no reason to do it for,
Now, yeah. Danny, let's rip the Band-Aid off. We've talked about all the good things. You did mention at the start of the podcast, that, in this movie, there's highs and lows. Let's talk about some of the lows. What for you do you think that I guess they were maybe missing a little bit in this film?
some of the choices in the direction of the way they took the film weren't true to probably the way they did the first film. You know, really, what was really great about the first film is the suspense held you from beginning to end without a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was right. no real gimmick to the first film. When you start to create a sequel that has something that makes you think, why is that a choice? Why is that in there? Then I think what you start to realize is that the fan base want to see a progression of the story without their questioning why there's been changes that really don't add to the story, don't have the purpose for it to be there. And that's a choice that was made. And I think it was the wrong choice because the first film sets it up to be such a great film for what it is. You know, the suspense is what holds you there. The fact that they're so high up off the ground and they have to make these choices, and every choice they make, there's a dilemma to it, but a real dilemma. And the way they solve it is the way it's more realistic in the basis of when you think about it, that they tried in the second one to make decisions that I think took away from what would have been the original concept of the film.
And that's probably because they're different directors as well compared to the first one. It was Scott Mann who directed the first one, but he came back as only the writer and producer, where we've got two Aussie directors doing this one. And so that's probably why they went a little different.
Not a good look. look, and I 100% agree with Danny. You know, it's kind of like this suspense, and then it's kind of like you deflate. And that's what I felt. I felt like it was kind of like build, really enjoying what's going on. I want to find out how they're getting down, all these kinds of things. And all of a sudden, boom, it's like you're at the end. And I'm like, I'm missing something here. There was a part of the movie that just, I think, kind of to me, it was like hitting the fast forward button far too quickly. I think it needed a bit more in the middle there, I think, before coming to the end. So that was the part I think that was kind of missing a bit for me. But I do agree with Denny's thoughts, the fact that definitely a big screen movie. And, you know, Denny, I'm sure you'd agree, you know, the sound to the film, you know, the camera shots, the CGI they use in it as well, the cinematography, it's all really good.
Yeah, look, the film will be one of those films you have to see on the big screen, no doubt about it. The film in the way it's shot, the way it's delivered, the way the suspense is put into the film is all lent to watching it in the cinemas. The big screen is where the film will succeed the best when you're wanting to watch it and really have you on the edge of the seat. We know 100 films that we could list now that have to be seen on the big screen.
Mm.
This is no exception. It's just sequels, even if they are meant to be or are considered inferior films just by basis of, you know, whatever choices are made, films are still made for the big screen, and this is no exception. And I'm glad I got to see it on the big screen because I seen it in the best possible format it could be done. Yeah. And it did everything that the first one did. It just had a few choices that change it for me, that's all.
Yeah, which is fair enough. Now, as well, we've come to that time of the podcast where I'm going to head over to the trusty old freezer.
It's trusty, right?
That thing always...
And when it plays up, you just kick it and it works again, so that's good.
Yeah.
No melted choc tops here.
Which is good. So the choc tops, I've got 5 each for you two. So, Danny, we'll start with you. How many choc tops are you going to give Fall 2 Dead Points, please?
Solid 3 choc tops for me.
Oh, well done. Okay, cool. Okay, now, JT, this is the one I've been waiting for as well because of last week you giving it big rap.
Well, I was going to give it a 5. I was going to give it a 5 last week before I'd seen it. And right now it's getting a 2.5. 2.5, nice. That's it. Yeah, pass cool. mark, but... Yeah, I'm going in off big guns off number one. I was expecting huge, huge things, and yeah, just didn't quite deliver that punch, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, well, I definitely
can't wait
going and seeing.
I can't. Good. Well, I can't wait to get your score for Fall 3 when it comes
out. Oh, no, don't do this to me. Danny, I'm sure you'd agree, though. Like, when we look at Fall 3, now they've kind of done the storyline they've done for this. I wonder where they're going to go to for number 3. It's kind of up in the air, isn't it?
Well, I think if you go and see Fall 2, there's a clue as to what the invitation to 3 would look like, and maybe for audiences. Ooh. There could be something in it in regards to maybe bookending the idea that this could be a trilogy of films that go together.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. Stay tuned for the next plot.
Hey, you know what, though? At the end of the day, Mr. Lee, it's still better than Project Hail Mary. Any day of the week. I would watch that movie 15 times over.
No.
He may regret that if that gets Oscar nominated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's probably going to. And you know what, Dean?
Yeah.
If it's nominated, I probably will choose it in my tips next year. I can tell you that now.
Like, yeah,
you
know. Just because he knows it's going to win. That's why. He can't not deny.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I know, it's ridiculous.
Too funny.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, thank you so much, Danny, for joining us today.
Really enjoy.
We really
appreciate
it.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
You do a great job. Thank you, JT, for coming in as well. I appreciate you coming in. I better thank you. Have I ever thanked you? I don't think I have.
No, you don't often thank me very much. No,
I don't think so. Oh, sorry, I'll take that back.
It's okay. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you. Have a lovely weekend. What are you up to? Anything exciting this weekend?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually going to be mowing the lawns because they have grown so much, and especially with that rain recently. I haven't mowed, so I've got to do that.
I love it.
And I'm going, Dancing with the Stars is on tomorrow night, and I'm going. So we've got to cheer for Kirsty and Dan. I'm my two that I'm cheering for. So
for a minute there, I thought you were the star dancing. I was going to go, God, I missed this, yes.
Oh, no. This little person doesn't dance.
Miss Lee cutting some shapes on the D floor. I'd love to see that. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch you next week on Thursday for more Talking Flicks.
Bye for now.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.